and better than we deserve. You agree with that? Praise the Lord. Take your Bibles tonight and let's turn to the book of 3 John. The book of 3 John. Tonight, you're going to need your Bibles a little bit more than you normally do in a Sunday night service. We're going to do a word study tonight. I don't normally do that on a Sunday night, but I cannot get away from this message. And I have tried to, and I can't. And so I want to trust the Lord that He'll use it tonight. And I have even tried to do my best to outline it, and I gave up on it. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to do a word study then on this subject. And I've spent hours trying to develop a sermon out of it and an outline out of it, and it just wouldn't work. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust You. And I do even when I'm doing the sermons, by the way, you know, the outlines. But I'm just saying that sometimes you just got to let just got to go through the Bible and see what He has to say. Amen. Amen. So I want you to turn to 3 John, and I want you to look in verse number 1 and 2. We're going to focus on verse number 2. Verse number 2 primarily. And it's the only time that this particular word, the way way it's used here, is used in the New Testament as far as this tense is concerned. We want to look at it in the Bible. And I think it's important that you understand this subject. Verse 1, the Bible says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. When I read verse number 2, I see a man of God who loves the church family there, and in particular some of the men there, and one in particular. And this was his burden. This was his wish, and this was his prayer. Sometimes the word wish does show up with the same word, prayer. And he said, I'm praying for you, and I'm wishing. Now think about this. Above all things, of all the things that I could wish for you and pray for you about, he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And I want to deal with that word, prosper. I know that it has a very negative connotation among our circles because of what the Word of Faith movement has taken that word, hijacked it, misused it, and abused it when it comes to material blessings. So what does the Bible, though, actually have to say about this? Do you agree with me that you should allow the Bible to be your dictionary? If you're going to use Bible terminology, why don't you use the Bible as your dictionary? Praise the Lord. So why don't we go to one of the first times that it's used that explains the definition of prosper. Okay? Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joshua. It's not the first time that it's mentioned, but it does define it for you. Joshua chapter number 1. And by the way, that is my prayer for you. And you know, did you notice, though, that his prayer was that his material and physical prosperity would be built upon his spiritual growth? He said, I'm praying for you above all things about your health and for your wealth, but I want it to be built upon, for it to prosper as your soul prospereth. As if you were to get ahead of this thing, then you would allow the material things and the physical things to mean more to you than the spiritual things that are going on in your life. And if you're spiritually strong, then you'll be able to handle some of the blessings that God may want to place upon you. The Bible says that the riches of the Lord add no sorrow. It could be that you're not ready yet for some things that God wants to bless you with, because you haven't grown spiritually. And you may drown in those things. You get pulled away by those things. So his priority for them was their spiritual growth. But even in your spiritual growth, you need good health. And in your good health, you have to work for a living. And if you're going to work for a living, you want to be able to prosper at what you do. Do you agree with that? Does anybody in here sign up to be a failure? I want to go broke tomorrow. Is that your prayer? I think not. Now I want you to look in Joshua chapter number 1 in verse number 7. I think that you will find verse number 8 is the verse I want to look at. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way, what's it say? Prosperous. All right. Then he's going to define that. He's going to amplify that. He said, and then thou shalt have good what? Success. To prosper doesn't always mean riches, houses, and land. But it does mean that what you've put your hands to, that God is allowing you to advance, and God is allowing you to overcome, and God is allowing you to experience some success at what you are attempting to do. Do you understand? That's really what it means when I pray for you that you might prosper. Doesn't mean that I want you to become a millionaire tomorrow, because it might destroy you if you're not walking with God. You got to stop equating success with money, because the Bible makes it very, very clear that sometimes to be successful, that it may appear to the world that you are a failure. Did you know that? As a matter of fact, the scripture, would you agree the Lord Jesus Christ was a great success? When he was on the Mount of Transfiguration talking to the other guys from another world, he said they were talking to him about the cross and what should be accomplished. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," the world looked at that and said, "Man, he's under the judgment of God and he's a failure." But God looked down and said, "That is a success." You see, and so what you want is you want God to see you a success. You want to accomplish the will of God in your life. That's when you truly are successful, is when you are accomplishing the will of God. And so the Lord Jesus, certainly, by the way, you know, when a man is trying to do something and he does accomplish what he's trying to do, the Bible says it is sweet to that man's taste. A man doesn't want to live frustrated. A man wants to accomplish what he's trying to do, regardless of what it is. Whether he's trying to hang a picture on the wall for his wife, he's trying to accomplish that, and how sweet that is when it's hanging right. Amen. Y'all understand that if you've tried that a few times. You know, a man can gain wealth and vex his own soul. That's what Lot did. Lot saw success as just money and possessions. And so he pursued that, but the Bible says it vexed his righteous soul daily. So I wouldn't consider you to be successful if you're turning dollars and it's vexing you at what you're doing and where you are and where you've moved to, and you can't go to church, you can't serve the Lord, but you're turning coins and it's vexing your soul. I wouldn't consider that a success. And there are those who can gain great wealth and lose their own soul, according to the rich man in Luke 12 and in Luke 16. You don't want to do that. Jesus said you could gain the whole world. Gain the whole world. And the world applaud you. and say that man prospered, but did he really prosper? Was he really a success? If he dies and goes to hell, he's leaving everything behind and he's spending eternity in the lake of fire. By the way, one can spend their health to gain wealth and then spend their wealth to gain back their health. I wouldn't consider that to be a success. So we're talking about the proper word for prosper. So let's look at a few places in the Bible that might help you in this particular area. I want you to look with me in Genesis, please, chapter 24. I'm going to skim across these. If you'll stay with me, I'll hit these and move on to the next one to show you some principles here. By the way, I do want God, when I think about to prosper, and when I think about success, I'm thinking that whatever I'm undertaking, and I think it's the right thing to do, and I've prayed about it, whatever it is, I want the good hand of God to be with me. And I want to accomplish what I am pursuing. And I want it to be successful. Now, if it's the will of God, understand this, then I am not only going to be blessed, but I'm going to be a blessing. If what I'm doing is doing nothing but taking from other people in order for me to be successful, there's something wrong with that picture. Because God has made you to be a blessing. We sing that often here. Lord, make me a blessing. All right? So whatever business that you get yourself into, what you don't want to be in is a parasitic business. You don't want to be a parasite and always be hurting people and taking from people in order for you to be successful financially. You want to be able to contribute something that they need. As simple as it may be, Aquila and Priscilla were involved in tent making because people needed a place to live. Not everybody could rent a place. Not everybody, and many people were transient. And so they developed a business where that people could come and buy something that they could use that would be productive in their life. So Paul said, I think I'm going to learn how to do that as well. And he did. And by the way, they shared their wealth with him and gave him an opportunity and employed him in order to help him to be able to share the gospel. And in result, they got to attend his Bible Institute, and they were used and grew spiritually where they could talk. Apollos came through town, he's preaching, and they pull him aside, and they help him in his growth. You see, your spiritual growth, your physical wealth, and your material wealth, God wants it all to be connected together in this area. So if what you're doing is stressing you out, and you're arguing all the time and fighting all the time at home, it could be that you might need to do something else. Amen? Maybe you should think about that. When I think about Aquila and Priscilla, I think about Brother Doug and Christy. When I pray for your business, when I think about Aquila and Priscilla, I think about Brother Lewis and Sister Rhonda, how y'all are engaged together in these things. And when I think about Lydia, I think about Sister Linda doing her very best to make a living for herself and sharing what she has with other people and being a blessing here around the house of God, taking care of them. God's got all kind of people doing different things. I think about you and your dear wife and how y'all work hard together to make a living. I pray for you daily that God would bless you and Brother Lorne and Bianca and Brother Jared and Jamie. Everybody seems to be kind of, and Cindy and I, we work hard together taking care of the things of the church. And so it's a blessing to be able to work together as husband and wife, but everybody doesn't have that opportunity. And some men, that they're good at what they do, and some women are very good at what they do. Lydia was a seller of purple. Now, a seller of purple means she wasn't selling cheap stuff. She wasn't dealing with hobos coming through. You understand? And so she knew how to turn a dollar, and then she had a household that she took care of. And in other words, she had people working for her. God was prospering her, and then God opened up her heart and saved her. She was already a praying woman. She was already worshiping the Lord, and then God brought her the gospel. And then she took what she had, and she shared it with those men and said, hey, I want y'all to stay right here. She opened up a prophet's chamber at her place and said, I want y'all to stay here. So when you grow spiritually, it's possible God could trust you more physically and spiritually. Why would God give you more health if you're just going to play? Why would God improve your health if all you're going to do is stay out of church more on Sunday so you can do more things? You see what I'm saying? But if you grow spiritually, it could be that God could trust you with a little bit more health and a little bit more wealth. I'm not saying that you'll never suffer. I'm not saying that you won't ever sometimes need people to help you through a season in your life. What I'm saying is, with all things being equal and the economy, if we're in war, everybody's going to suffer. If we go through a famine, everybody's going to suffer. But we're not there yet. So therefore, if we're able, we should be willing to work and to ask God to bless the work of our hands. You agree? And to advance. Now, you don't measure your advancement by the week. It wouldn't hurt for you to measure it by the year. That's why God renews the year. And He wants you to look back over the year. And I promise you, I was telling a young couple who got engaged in faith promise for the first time, and then they had a hard time financially the first couple of weeks. Something happened. Something always slips, breaks, and tears to test your faith. I said, don't measure it the first couple of weeks. You measure it a year later and see what God does. See what God does and see the Bible promises that if we sow more, we'll reap more. I mean, it's a principle. It's just the principle. So I'm just saying, just watch and see. And it's amazing to me how that we wonder how in the world can we give a little more than we always do. And at the end of the year, and we look at things and say, well, you know what? I'm better off than I was last year. And I don't know how God did that. But I am. I'm better off. And in some of those circumstances, I'm counting on God to absolutely rebuke the devourer. I mean, God, He'll make things last. I can't guarantee that about a Ford truck anymore. Oh, sorry, Brother Dwayne. I'm just joking. I know y'all talking Chevrolet. I know. Let's move on. Look at Genesis 24. Brother Justin told me if I drove that Yukon over to Austin that I wouldn't want my Toyota anymore. So I drove it over there and I came back and I said, I hate to admit it, but you're right. Chapter 24, verse number 40. Here's something that, you know, this is critical in God prospering me. Is when I'm praying and trying to find direction. See, it's got nothing to do with money here. It's just trying to find the perfect will of God and to accomplish what I think the Lord wants me to do. This can be a little thing in your life. It could be a big thing in your life. But Abraham's servant was told by Abraham, I want you to go to a certain location and I want you to find my son a bride. Now, he's going to look for a needle in a haystack. Do you understand? And so he is asking God. He said, I being in the way. I believe, Brother Terry, that if being in the way means that I am doing right as far as I know in the eyes of the Lord, as far as I know, I'm not stepping out, I'm not doing anything presumptuous, I don't have any sin in my life that I am pursuing, I just want to do the will of God. I'm trying to obey the Lord and listen to the Spirit and praying and asking God to guide my footsteps. That's all. And that's what he was doing. And then it came to where that he came to a certain location and he prayed and said, God, please help me. Please prosper me this day for my master's sake. That's that word prosper. Would you answer my prayer? And I believe when God answers my prayer, that equals prosperity. When I need God to give me a specific answer and some direction on something, He's advancing me. He's helping me. All right, now look what happens here. In chapter 40, verse number 27, he said in verse 27, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, whom hath not left destitute, my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now, if you look in verse number 40, he's giving his testimony now. And he's talking about what him and Abraham's conversation. He said, what if this woman doesn't want to go? Well, he says in verse number 40, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee. That's Abraham. Abraham is telling him, listen, I trust the Lord. I walk before him. He's my friend. And I believe God's going to guide you with his angel. And look what he says, and prosper thy way. Got nothing to do with money. Got nothing to do with health. The word, first time the word prosper in the Old Testament shows up, it's about God directing your decisions. Where do I go to church? What church do I join? Who do I marry? Where do I live? How do I handle this situation that I'm facing? Man, I need some wisdom, Lord. I need you to respond to me. Boy, I love that when he does. And the Bible says that he did respond to this man. And in verse number 56, I believe it is. I hope that's it, he says. And verse number 56, he says, and he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Prospered my way. What was that? It just meant that God had let him find this woman, which was Rebecca. And you know what he did when God prospered his way? You know what he did? The Bible says he bowed his face to the earth and he worshiped. When God prospered him, when God gave him a clear direction on what to do, he worshiped the Lord. Can I encourage you fellows and ladies that when God does that for you and answers your prayers and gives you definite direction and God hears your voice? David said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. You ought to worship him. You ought to bow your knee. You ought to raise your hands toward heaven and say, God, thank you for hearing my voice. Some of you men have to make some real serious business decisions. And I know that you pray about those decisions. And what a blessing it is when God gives you clear direction and peace on what to do. Because you're trusting the Lord to advance you. You're trusting that God to protect you and to advance you in those particular areas. What a blessing. What a blessing. Look with me in Genesis 37. Genesis 37. This is really good here. Let's look at Joseph for just a moment. You know, anytime you want to talk about something good and godly, you always wind up talking about Joseph. Or David. Of course, there's stains in David's life and people always bring that up. But you won't find any in Joseph's life. In Genesis 37, you'll find here that he is a slave and then he is made a servant. Whether he is the shepherd under his father, or whether he is a slave, or whether he is a servant, or whether he is under Pharaoh, everything this young man does, God prospers what he does. I want you to see this about God when God prospers you, because the Bible does say there is the prosperity of the wicked. The wicked, he says, don't envy the prosperity of the wicked. Lying men, cheating men, deceitful men and women can get rich, filthy rich. They can do that. They don't have to live by the same standards that you do. And so they can turn wealth faster than you can. But if it says, don't envy the prosperity of the wicked, remember, they are going to make money off of other people's pain. Just remember that. That's what separates what you have based on what they have. You're offering a service. You're offering something that's a blessing. You're offering something that's productive. They are not. And you'll notice in Genesis 37 in verse number 28, it says, I believe it's verse number 28. I sure hope I got this right. Yeah, this is where he is a becomes a slave. I just want you to see the context of this. In 37:28, then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, he could have fell into a state of bitterness and anger and frustration, and I think that's going to hinder the good hand of God upon your life. But I think you see, even in these situations, that his soul is still has its eyes on the good providence of God, trusting the promises of God, even in a dry season and a hard time. And you may go through some of that before he elevates you. Maybe you're not ready for the elevation yet. But you'll notice that in chapter number 39, things change. And the Bible says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. See that? And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. So he is a slave. Verse 2, and the Lord was what? Don't you want that? Man, I do. And look, and he was a prosperous man. He's a slave. He owns no property. He didn't have any freedoms. But the Bible says he's a prosperous man. Everything he's touching is advancing, and he was in the house of his master. I believe that if God prospers me, he's going to make me a blessing to you. And I think if God blesses you, the people around you. In other words, when God prospers a man, he does that so that the people that bump into you are blessed. I do. I think that you'll be productive. I think that Beasley Tire prospers because of you being there. I do. And I think that they recognize hardworking men who have integrity and character. I think Toyota Lip profits from you being there because of your honesty and your work ethic and your integrity. And I think that when you own your own business, you're able also to use what you have to bring other people blessings by giving them income and a job and being a help and a blessing. That is the purpose in our hearts, that we are growing so that we can produce and be productive and be a blessing. Not so that we can build our own empire and so that we can just think about us, but so that we can think about others. This is God's mindset. God's blessing him. He's blessing this heathen man because of this believer that is just simply doing right in the eyes of the Lord. No matter where he went, God prospered him. His location changed his occupation, but his situation never changed his vocation. He knew that his calling was to honor God, fear God, and trust God. And God prospered the work of his hands. We won't turn here for sake of time, but I want you to turn to Psalm 1. But I'm going to give you another illustration as you're turning to Psalm 1. Do you remember a guy by the name of Nehemiah? Now, Nehemiah was used by the hand of God to advance the cause of God. Now, Nehemiah had a good job. He was cupbearer to the king. But he had a burden for the cause of Christ and for the cause of God. He said, man, my burden is about the house of God. He said, I'm tired of it lying in ruins, and I want to see the Lord being worshiped. I want to see it rebuilt. And so he prayed and he asked God. He asked God to advance him and bless him and prosper him. And sometimes it is finding favor before other men. He asked the Lord to let him find favor before the king and to prosper his hand. And sometimes your very prosperity depends upon whether or not God allows you to find favor with the people that you work for. I pray for you that God would let you find favor. I do. I pray for many of you that the Lord would let you find favor with those with whom that you work for. And you know, thank God for Nehemiah. God did prosper the work of his hand, and then it wasn't about him prospering financially, personally, because he didn't. But you'll find that he prospered in that God put a whole heap of material in his hand so that he could use it to build the house of God. And then God sent him protection with the king's army that he might be protected. And the Lord advanced him, and they were successful at what he wanted to accomplish. It was a season. I thank those of you who have labored hard and given excessively for the cause of Christ at East River Baptist Church. That we are a debt-free facility, and that we're able to give hundreds of thousands of dollars to missions across the world. And you could not do that if God did not protect you. And if God did not promote you, if God did not provide for you and prosper the work of your hands. And sometimes he's done that because he knew that your motive was that if you made more, you'd give more to the work of Christ. That's just the way he is, that he is. Look in Psalm 1. Now, let's talk about this right here. This is important in our hearts. Do you have any expectations of God? Seriously. Do you expect God to bless you? Do you? So if you expect God to bless you, what does he expect you out of you? To be obedient, fellowship with him, honor him, your work ethic, your integrity, to trust him that he'll use you in what you're involved in, that it's more than just fixing pipes that may be broken in somebody's backyard, but it could be an open door for a witness. You just never know what God's up to. Look in Psalm 1. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the way of the scornful, seat of the scornful." See, that's a young man. Boy, I wish our young men, all of our young men were here. Young men who are trying to get their feet set on the ground to find a skill or either their direction for their career. That they would guard their influences and their lives. The Bible says in verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." That takes more than just memorizing scriptures, and that's what Brother Lewis wants you to do. To memorize those scriptures, what he wants you to do is hide those scriptures in your heart. To meditate upon them, think upon them, and apply them to your heart and to your life. And what God wanted David to do was, as a king, was to read. The king was to read this. They were to do it regularly. They were to read the law themselves regularly. So that they, when they rendered judgment, they knew what the Lord wanted them to do. They knew what was right. They knew what was wrong. And they knew how to be just and fair. And that's what the Bible will do for you. You will know. And the Bible says in verse 3, he says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper, advance." Whatever the goal is now, because what is his goal? His goal is to please the Lord. So whatever you put your hand to, do it with all your might and ask God to bless it and to multiply it and then to use it. Not only to protect your family and provide for your family, but also to look beyond that. God, how can you use me now as a tool? I know that you want me to take care of my family. Now, Lord, help me now to be a blessing to somebody else's family and to the cause of Christ. And God will bless you. Now, here's an interesting verse. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Would you turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3? This passage here is some principles that I have lived by since I've been a Christian. I started to say since I was a young Christian. And yeah, that's true. But I want you to notice in chapter 3, these truths here, these principles right here, are the same principles that are found in 3 John. It has to do with your health and your wealth and your soul. All three parts of your life that are important to you. I know that you care about your finances. I also know that you care about your health. I also know that you care about your spiritual growth. And the Bible says in chapter number 3 here, you're familiar with these passages, but notice something here. Chapter 3, verse number 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now that's your soul prospering right there. You agree? That's your soul prospering. And lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. That's your soul. And he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now watch in verse 8. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Immorality will destroy your health. You know that, right? Surely you understand that. Fornication, drugs, alcohol, these things will destroy you. The Bible says it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And look in verse number 9. Here's your finances. So you got your soul, you got your body, and you got your finances. Honor the Lord with thy substance. That is my goal. With everything I own, I am not motivated to tithe because of Malachi chapter 3 in fear that God is going to judge me if I don't. My motive is not Old Testament law. I am not a Jew. The tithe was introduced way before Moses showed up on planet Earth. And way before Israel became God's chosen people and God taxed his people for the house of the Lord. Tithing was set up a long time before that. Abraham and Jacob said, I want to honor your Lord with my finances. And so they picked out 10% and God seems to like 10% and God seems to bless 10%. So that's where I start. That's not where I stop. That's the least I ought to do, I feel in my heart, in honoring the Lord with my substance. But that's just my money. What am I going to do with my health and what am I going to do with my soul? It says, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In other words, he was in honoring God, he was trusting God, Brother Lorne, to give him an increase. And by the way, increase is not just your gross. It is what you actually profit. It means you actually profited from this. Because you can have a whole lot of gross and no profit. You can spin your wheels. He said, but with the first fruits of all thine increase. And so God wants me to learn how to give willfully, cheerfully, honorably, on purpose. In my soul to the things of God. And look at verse number 10. I've always, Cindy and I have always trusted God, and there have been times we didn't have two quarters to rub together, but God has always provided. There'd be some church member in Louisiana, they'll drive up and open up the back of his car, and they'd be loaded down with chicken quarters. And we would feast for a while on chicken. And it'd be somebody else, one guy that worked for a potato chip company, sometimes he'd Trump come by and he'd leave the leftovers. And one time he ran into a guy that broke down with an ice cream truck, and he brought all the extra ice cream stuff and brought it to the house. I'm just saying that sometimes God has ways of humbling you and allowing other people to minister to you. But look in verse number 10. But Lord, I don't want to be the guy who's always receiving. I want to be the man that's blessed to be able to give. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I want to give the chicken quarter. I want to give the tater chip. I want to give the ice cream. Amen? I do. Look in verse number, he said, verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. Now my wife has taken that to heart. I built a shop and she has filled it up. She told me that, can I put a she shed inside your shed? Yes. She filled it up. And she filled my part up. Amen. And now when I open the door, I have to wiggle my way through just to get to my rod and reels. You understand what I'm saying? She knows it's true. God has richly blessed us from where we were 30 or 40, 50 years ago. Verse 10 says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. How many of you in here have plenty? Now, plenty is more than enough. Isn't that right? Wow. So shall thy barn be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. It just simply means God's going to bless the work of your hands. I want that. I want that for Doug and Christy. I want that for Brother Lewis and Rhonda. I want that for Brother Brad. I want that for my dear brother that went to Texas A&M to be an engineer. Brother Brent went, and he is an engineer. He has an engineering degree. Is that what you call it? A&M. But began to seek the will of God. And he's doing something totally different. Started his own business. And we pray that God would richly bless him, and God has richly blessed him. He's got the three little musketeers that he brings in here. And by the way, that's part of God prospering. When God gives you children, God's prospered you. God's blessed you. Three musketeers or three stooges, I'm not sure. Depends on the day, right? Depends on the day. So what about Proverbs 28:13, though? What about if you cover your sins that you'll not prosper? But if you confess them and forsake them, what you're thinking probably is about gross immorality, which would be true if you're hiding that. God's not going to bless that. But can I tell you, there are things that men hide that you need to confess. The sin of sloth, maybe that's why you're not prospering. Slothfulness is a wicked sin. You understand, we preached on that here often. It's wicked because you're counting on somebody else to do your job. Somebody's got to pick up the slack because of you. Stubbornness. Nobody can tell you anything. You're not advancing because you're not teachable. Brother Lorne and I were talking about this Friday, that if a man wants to advance, he needs to educate himself. He needs to learn more. He needs to be hungry for knowledge. He needs to be able to increase his knowledge to make himself more productive. Don't be satisfied where you are as far as your knowledge is concerned. And maybe you're a thief. Maybe you steal. Do you know the word in the book of Titus? As you go to work, you are to adorn the doctrine of God at work. Did you know that? Because lost men are watching you. And they're watching your work ethic. Did you know the word purloin is used in the book of Titus? He says when you go to work, he said not purloining. And that is going to work and being a thief. It means you are stealing time or tools. There used to be some men where I used to work, they would steal. They would steal tools. But you know what? When you're on your cell phone, when you're on company time, you're stealing. You're right. And I'm saying that God may not advance you if you don't have a good work ethic. You could be shooting yourself in the foot, and you're wondering why God blesses brother so-and-so, but he doesn't bless you. It could be you. Right. Confessing that to God in your heart. Well, I want to close with this verse. Turn 1 Corinthians, New Testament. Paul seemed to have this attitude that God, in normal circumstances, normal economy, when there's not war and famine going on, that God would bless his people and that they would have enough and that they would have more than enough. 1 Corinthians 16. He said that when we get born again, we should not steal anymore, but that she would work with our own hands that we may have to give to those who have not. Which means he's expecting as a believer that if you have a good work ethic and you're honest and you work hard, that God is going to advance you and bless you with that you have enough for you, and then you'll have a little bit more to be able to help the brother that's in a bad way. He believed that. And that's often repeated. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, study to be quiet. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands so that you will have. So that you will have. Look in chapter 16, verse number 2. He says this, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, this is his expectations, lay aside by him in store as who? Oh, man. You believe your Bible? Do you believe that? As God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He was expecting everyone to be able to participate in a need that occurred to some of the churches, that when it came time to take up an offering to relieve the poor who were going through some hard times in a certain location, he believed that everybody there would be able to participate. Now that's an attitude right there. Believing that God would bless his children. Now, brethren, don't measure your success by your bank account alone. Measure your success about your relationship with God, number one. Do you have some joy? Do you have some peace at home? And has God helped you even in your ailments? We all have physical infirmities. Our bodies are headed to the grave. But may the Lord help you and advance you even in those particular areas. By the way, the Apostle Paul carried around with him a physician. Amen? And so everybody has aches and pains. And may God help you to understand here that it's okay for you to pray in the morning, God, would you bless the work of our hands? Would you let me find favor today? Lord, if I'm doing something unwise or foolish that's wasting time and energy, would you show that to me? Father, the Bible says wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. Don't go down to the store and buy a lottery ticket and say, promise God, if you let me win $1 million, I'll give it half of it to somebody. Don't do that. Please, understand God blesses humility, honesty, and hard work. And God blesses hope that you're trusting Him to help you, to guide you, and to bless you. I pray for you that God would prosper you. I do. Let's pray now. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that this sermon tonight, this message, this Bible study, I pray that our people might find contentment and gratitude in how you've blessed them and helped them in so many areas of their lives. May your good hand be upon them even this week. In Jesus' name, amen.